If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I don't know why the blur happens. That's fine.
Don't know.
It's fine now.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
We were at Francis Fest, St. Francis of Assisi Church, which is just the church fair. And the snow cone line met the father of one of my daughter's friends, and they've got... She's in second grade. They've got some older boys, and one of the middle school boys walked over, and the dad just said, "Introduce yourself." Like, we were having a conversation, and the son just walked over to say, "Hey, Dad, can I get $5 or whatever?" And the dad like stopped him and was like, "You know, introduce yourself." He didn't even say who this was. He just said, "Why don't you introduce yourself?" And so the kid reached over, shook his hand, or shook our hands. You know, said his name, made eye contact, smiled, "Nice to meet you." And that was the second time in a couple of months or so that we've had a friend who. It was the son in both cases, but they also have daughters who I assume do the same thing. But I kind of grew up in that type of environment.
What age kid are we talking about?
He was in middle school.
Okay.
Both the boys in the two separate family situations were in middle school. I think, you know, with my five-year-old son, maybe not expecting that to be the outcome, but like at least starting the conversation. And I think that type of... As I told you, like those types of habits, like I mentioned, you know, handwriting thank you notes at Christmas time to each of the grandparents, which growing up was like the worst for me. But I now know how to write a proper thank you note. And I know like the appreciation that comes not just by writing that, but as the recipient of that. And I think things like that where you encourage not just your children, but maybe in a coaching setting, you're encouraging your teammates or your players to develop these skills that build character, exude good character into traits, and ultimately, I think, help you end up winning a little bit in life.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do the handwritten thank you notes thing too for birthdays, Christmas. The look them in the eye, shake their hand, or say hello, or yep. Whatever. Like, yeah, that's, I think all of that, it's intentional, and I definitely notice it, especially when it's a little older, you know, maybe a high school kid,
yeah,
who like won't look at you and, you know.
Or like can't order a meal at a restaurant, or like can't pick up the phone and call a friend, they have to text somebody, like that kind of stuff.
I remember.
Becoming more and more.
I worked a zillion camps, you know, whether those ones we had at Gibbons or college camps, and I always was looking to see if the parent would just walk up and do all the work while the kid just stood there,
yeah,
or if the kid had to do all the work and sign in and say hello, say their name, you know,
write their own name tag, or whatever it is.
And I think that seems like such a nothing thing, but it is to me indicative of all the good things are happening behind the scenes or not. And so I definitely, whatever, it all promotes this notion of independence and responsibility and adulthood, and that's why we're raising kids. That's, you know, the same thing goes in an athletic setting. When your kid goes to fill out a job application and apply for a job, but they can't look the manager in the eye or shake hands or
Even in this world where we've come to a lot of like virtual interview processes, where I mean, also the jobs end up being virtual, so I guess that kind of just goes hand in hand. But I think that responsibility, like you said, of building independence, whether it's for an athlete that's ultimately going to go to college and play and have to deal with teammates and coaches away from mom and dad, or they don't keep on playing sports, they never did, and it's something where they need to perform in a job setting or something. Like at some point, we've talked about this a million times, like you want your kids to fly the nest and, you know, leave and go be the people that you created them to be. And those foundational skills make them be more successful, and taking responsibility for, you know, being on time, signing themselves in. Like yesterday, my daughter's homework was not in the folder. And I'm not going to text all the moms asking for pictures of homework every night so that I can print it out and let her fill it out. Like at some point, this is your responsibility. If you write the homework down in your agenda and you see that it says worksheet and there's no worksheet to take home, before you leave school, ask your teacher for the worksheet. Like that is those little things. If every time I just fix it, that's not going to ever teach her to remember the skills to actually pay attention to it the first go round and ultimately have the responsibility and ownership over that.
Well, that's promoting the idea of ownership, like whatever it is. If it's something like that with their schoolwork when they're in first or second grade, to, you know, athletics. You know, I remember when we would not allow parents to just run water bottles over to their kids. And some people would be like, why not? You know, because, like, I know for me, like if I was a college coach, watching a player get waited on hand and foot by their parents, that's a red flag
for me. Not the kid I want to take on. Yeah.
And I want the kid who has embraced ownership of their own athletic career in this sense, and they're responsible and independent. That's the whole point. That's what athletics should be about, is developing character. And I know that even from a coaching standpoint, the more ownership I could give players over pretty much every aspect of what we were doing, the better they would play.
Yeah. I feel like they've got some skin in the game and some autonomy and decision making. Yep. And you know, we talk about gratitude a lot on here, about just that's a pretty good way to live. And when you can look at something and be proud because you had a part in that, or you can say that, you know, that was a job that I owned and I got it done and I was successful, like that ability to be grateful and have gratitude about things in your life becomes easier. Sometimes there are situations where it's like, I don't know, what am I grateful for today? But the days that I find the most gratitude at the end of my day are the days that I did things that made me feel good and proud and served others or served myself or checked something off my list. And if you don't have any responsibility over the things in your world and in your life that ultimately give you the pride and success that you're looking for, I think that makes it a little challenging to not be able to look back and say like, yeah, I did that, or I, you know, wasn't just leaning on somebody else and being totally dependent on them.
Well, and that's, I think, you know, we've talked before about some of the problems in the workplace with parent involvement, and which I'm just
horrifying, the thought of my parents ever stepping in my workplace.
Oh, the first time I remember in Grit, Angela Duckworth talked about it. I was just like in shock.
People do that?
And now, it's, you know, since that book was written, it's only worse. But I mean, part of that, I think, is the parents and their identity and where they get their self-worth. And I mean, I constantly hear parents bemoaning they're in high school now. And well, what do you think was going to happen? Yeah. Like, that, you know, unless, you know, they get flunk or whatever, sure. You know, which I don't think that's what we're looking for. I was never like that as a parent. Like, I'm excited about everything that's new that they're becoming, yeah. that they're learning. And with each stage, I like seeing who they are.
Yeah.
And that's why you have kids. Like,
because you want to raise kids, turn them into something.
And not so they
yeah.
are perpetually dependent on you and
yep.
never leave or whatever. Like, none of that is psychologically healthy. And it's not psychologically healthy to find your soul identity in the role of parent.
Well, I think a lot of people, I know especially moms, because obviously that's the kind of peer group that I'm in, feel like this, like I'm constantly like I'm never not filling up a water bottle or doing laundry or washing dishes or hanging up the kids or putting their shoes away in the basket and like whatever those all those tasks are. And at some ages there are like you are just right. doing for your kids. There's a period of there's up until a certain age you are just serving at the feet of your children because they are incapable physically, emotionally, mental, whatever, of doing certain things. But I have found that the more tasks I give my kids, the more they find pride in that, the less I feel like I am just their, you know, their servant around the house and just like short order cook and things, like just little things. So I when we moved to this house, I put hooks in the back hall. When you walk in the door, don't throw your backpacks on the floor, go hang them on the hook. And immediately my 5-year-old was like, every day is the older one's the one that won't, that's not doing it. And like on the way in the door now, he's like, backpack is on the hook. And I can see that like that he's proud that he remembers that. And yesterday I've had them started taking out their, like in the mornings when my husband makes the lunches, usually he's emptying out yesterday's lunchbox in the morning before he has to go prep them. So now like when you get home, hang your backpack, take your lunchbox, empty out whatever you didn't eat, rinse it out in the sink. And now dad's ready to make lunches in the morning. I think those little things, A, give them some responsibility over their life and they will ultimately reap the benefits of that, because the older you get, the more responsibility you are given, and it becomes, you know, I think it's less overwhelming when you're kind of used to that versus being weighted on hand and foot. But it also helps me as a parent not feel like it's just one more thing all the time. So like I'm doing good for them and I'm also doing good for me, and that feels like the way it should be. I mean, it's removing, not just about making my life easier, but having that, like you said, people who are just like, oh, it's like so much work. It's just, it doesn't have to be.
No, and I think
all the time.
I mean, they feel good about their contribution yep, to the
around the house or
household. Just like in a performance setting, I know for me as a coach, not feeling like I needed to control every last thing, mm-hmm. and instead, if they had an idea or let's try this play, yeah. one, they're going to be more invested in trying to make the play work
for sure
because it's their idea. And two, that you want to foster that independence, this lack of them needing you,
yeah, like, needing validation in their choices or needing the, yeah.
To me, that's the whole goal of coaching, is to not be needed. You have these high standards and they get after it.
Well, that's how you learn from failure too. I think when you fail at something that was your idea, the result from a learning perspective is much different than when you fail at something that was somebody else's idea.
Yeah, it's because you can blame, I thought that was a stupid idea
right,
anyway.
Versus, okay, I tried this, it didn't work well. Okay, next time I'm going to do this differently so that I have success. Teaches so much more that sort of like critical thinking skills and next steps and how to work through problems than just, oh, well, that was a stupid idea he gave us anyway, so not my fault.
Yeah, the ownership thing is so important on so many levels across all these wide variety of activities, whether it's your academic life or work life, athletic life, whatever it is. The more you are taking ownership, the more you're going to be solution-oriented
yep.
and very much interested in finding a way instead of throwing your hands up. I didn't want to
yeah.
do that anyway. It was a dumb idea. And I mean, that works in the workplace. The more you can empower people to develop ideas and run with them, the better. I think for sure it works in athletics.
It works in when you raise a, I always call them like a figure outer.
Right. Yeah.
Like figure outers succeed in work. They succeed in life. They succeed in relationships. They succeed in organizing their lives when things change and get crazy. And I think when you are have that, like, I didn't realize it's not a word, but like figure outer mindset of like, okay, here's the situation. I'm going to figure this out. Not only do you own it 100% because I can find a way and get through this, but it gives you so much more of a skill to work through things, to feel way more proud on the back end when you solved that problem. And also just to not have those constant mindset fluctuations of like, oh crap, not this again. Like, yeah, you had that for a moment and then, okay, but I'm going to figure it out. And I think that's the type of children we want to raise, athletes we want to coach, you know, ultimately people we want to send off into the world, because those people, I think, facilitate just a more productive world.
Well, I know it wasn't too long ago, Rourke Denver, in his little podcast he has, his episodes are quite brief generally.
So you didn't mean like his little podcast, you meant like right, his short.
No, no, he's gold. He's former Navy SEAL commander. He's awesome. Highly recommend his book, Damn Few. But he talked about like, if you want to create real value wherever you are, work, whatever, be the person whose response is always, I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. Yep.
And I love that clip, and I follow him on all social media platforms. But that's, yeah, I mean, that's inspiring. It makes you want to like dig in right next to him and help and support and do it yourself too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where then it becomes too, who are we surrounding ourselves with? The more people we can surround ourselves with who are figure it outers and who embrace and own whatever the outcomes are and just keep going, instead of like making excuses. I know my kids, they both really are not impressed when one of their pals or teammates or whatever is making excuses. Like, nope.
It's enough of that.
And the excuse making is just a terrible thing to let happen. But all of it goes along with body language and I mean, look, I get it. You make a mistake, fail on some level, you're gonna be angry, you're not gonna like it, but your default mode can't be just hang your head, give up, blame, make excuses. Instead, your default mode needs to be like turn it right around and attack and go and find an answer. And those are like, even when I watch kids play, those are kids I just love watching them play. I mean, there's one of my daughter's teammates, I won't say her name, but she's like that. I don't care what sport she's playing, she's just going. Yeah. And doesn't mean she plays perfectly. Who does? No one. But I never doubt when that kid comes in the game, she's going to bring it.
Yeah.
And with the same rough, tough vibe. So that's just like, if I was picking teams, I'd pick that kid.
Yeah. I think it's a great point to mention that from a sports perspective is, like, when I started playing volleyball, at first in eighth grade, sure, I was the tallest. I was probably one of the strongest. But as I got older and more skilled athletes were around me, I wasn't the tallest. I didn't jump the highest. I didn't hit the hardest. But I loved the game and wanted to play. So, like, figuring out how I can make myself successful and fit in a team where I'm actually playing on the court. And I think for me, accepting early on that I wasn't 6'4", I didn't touch 10 feet, you know, all whatever the things were that were limiting me from being like that person, are what helped me quickly be like, all right, if I can't do what she can do, what can I do to still be in this game and love this game and be successful and, you know, be on the court if that's what I want it to be? And I think the sooner you can identify things like that, that like might be limiters for you that are maybe out of your control, it helps you quickly find the things that are in your control and find the success on a different route.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, I remember coaching, it was a club volleyball team, and a guy I coached with, Mike Frank, we had a blast, and these kids were really tough, but they weren't like freak shows. Like, yeah, our outside hitters were probably your height. They were tough kids, and I remember we were in this big tournament, and the team we were getting ready to play was a physically freakish, you know, just in the best sense, just pounding the ball. Yeah. And so a lot of teams would watch them warm up and immediately like, well, yeah, our goose is cooked. Yep. You know, but these kids did not ever do that. That's just not how they were, and we certainly weren't like that as coaches. And we were always trying to promote this idea, look, there's a way, you can find a way to win. And I know for us, you know, we had, you know, the guy who's Mike was calling our serves, and it just dictated terms. So their hitters didn't get to hit, you know, as close to the net as they wanted, where they can pound the ball through the floor. They're further off the net. So then it's much easier to block and dig, and they can't score as easily. And we won. And I think everyone watching was like, well, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
How'd they do that?
Because they were figure-outers.
Yeah. And it's, but if you go into that kind of setting where you don't feel like you have enough, whatever it is, well, then you won't have enough.
Yeah.
But instead, if you just find a way, like, all right, let's see what we can do here.
Right.
What can we exploit? What are the holes? What are the weaknesses? Let's find a way. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Then I think that's the approach you want to take, regardless of what it is you're doing or how old you are or anything.
Yeah.
Like, so it all starts with all that. Introduce yourself, shake your hand, look them in the eye. Just present yourself in a way, carry yourself in a way that shows you mean business.
Well, and whether you like it or not, behavior, body language, you know, communication skills open up opportunities for you.
No doubt.
People notice them. Yeah. They're going to reach, like you said, you're going to reach for that kid on your team before somebody else. And I think that can only serve you in good ways, not in like a goody two shoes. Oh, she's always, you know, written thank you notes. No shit. Like, some people are going to view you like that, and that's fine. That's their own insecurity, that's something that they're not comfortable doing or whatever that is. But for better or for worse, or like it or don't like it, they are character building solid skills that make you a well-rounded person that people notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think character development, very intentional at very early ages and whatever they're doing, whether it's from parenting, from an athletic standpoint, from academic standpoint, that is the key. And the more throughout your life you can spend time intentionally hammering out your character and developing it and improving it, just the better things are going to go for you and in anything you're doing. So I think we do a disservice when we don't create that at home or in the playing field or in the classroom or whatever. And the sooner we can start it, the better.
Totally.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.